Hello, and welcome to Two Words Wolves Pod. I'm Ryan Eichton, and with me today is Travis Singleton. Travis, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Awesome. Yeah, Travis, tell our audience a little bit about yourself, what you do in the Wolves universe.
Got out here 2022, been a part of the Wolves universe, so it's been pretty good. You know, it's been special to watch Anthony Edwards grow, and especially Naz Reid as well, since we're on Two Words. So it's been real special, man. Started in 2010 covering the Celtics. Then went from there to OKC, covered the Thunder. Went to Houston for a little stint, and then made my way out to Minnesota. But been just covering teams and, you know, just continuing to write and give the fans what they really want, some behind the scenes, but at the same time give them something they can read and look forward to, just like yourself.
Awesome. Yeah. A lot of people know you as Sneaker Reporter.
Yeah. You got sneakerreporter.com, Sneaker Reporter. It's pretty cool, though, because it's like, you know, it's like a double entendre type of thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, people think I'm just going to talk about sneakers, but it's like, I really don't. But it's like, if you want to, we can do that. But you know, I just try to make sure that I stand out in the locker rooms, and that's kind of how I got the Sneaker Reporter thing going.
There you go. Awesome. Well, we'll just hop right into it. The Timberwolves are in a bit of a mess. To quote Two Country or No Country from Old Men, it's if it's not a mess, it'll do until it gets here. It's a, to steal a bit from Aaron Gleeman there. The Wolves have lost three in a row, the first of which was a 1-point loss to Miami, where they had countless mistakes, both coaching wise and mental down the stretch. Tilo mm-hmm. and I talked about that on Monday. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, they lost a back-to-back, both in Portland. And Portland, at least before winning these two games, was down at the bottom of the West standings. This early in the season, a two-game win streak will get you out of the bottom of the barrel. But, main takeaways from this brutal three-game stretch, really, but the last two in Portland.
We know what happened with Miami. You know, that was just like a coaching blunder at the end, and a couple of mental errors that, you know, Timberwolves never really make. You know, defensively, they've been really, really well and really good since I've been in Minnesota, for sure. But it's rare that you see that type of breakdown at the end. But, you know, then you go to Portland, where you're like, okay, we get a chance to redeem ourselves. You know, everybody's like, all right, we got Portland, we got some get right games. And then all of a sudden, you know, Portland was like, hold on, this isn't the Portland of last week.
Yeah.
This is a new team. So it was just interesting, though, because, you know, you're playing against Portland, but they're plugging in players, they're taking out players, they're plugging players. So it's like you're game planning for players that, you know, like an Ayton and different players like this. But then all of a sudden you got Banton going crazy and you got, you know, all these other guys that are making these shots. And I honestly think it comes down to game planning and, you know, maybe not prepping, you know, being prepared as much as they usually are, you know, because the way that they tinker their lineups up a lot in for Portland. But also you got to make sure you come with energy. And that was one of the biggest takeaways for me.
Yeah.
I think that every loose ball, every offensive rebound, every tip pass that, you know, they're doing deflections and different things like that. And I felt like Portland was like really on top of that when it came to the energy, and they played off the crowd. And Portland was playing like, hey, this is an NBA Cup game. Like, this is, you know what I'm saying? We're playing the in-season tournament. So, you know, I think it was one of those, okay, this is a wake-up call for us, you know. But by the time, I think it was a little bit too late. Last night, obviously, they played really, you know, really close down the stretch and everything. But that first game was kind of like, oh, wait a minute, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. But I think it's energy. They were crashing the boards. They were getting the offensive rebounds. They were beating us to the hustle plays. Those are the little things that the Timberwolves usually beat other teams in. So it was kind of like we got a dose, you know, a taste of their own medicine right there when it came to that. And a lot of defensive breakdowns, you know, on switches. And a lot, let's be honest, too, a lot of Portland Trailblazer players were making some shots that they usually don't make. So a little bit of that, too. So
At least with the shot making, the first game more so for Portland, they had
for the first game, for sure.
They had some crazy shots. The second game, they shot, 36% from three. So not as crazy, but yeah, yeah. I agree with you on the lack of energy and like the focus and the attention to detail. I'm usually really hesitant to like blame lack of energy just because like a winning team never looks like they're lazy and a losing team mm-hmm. always looks like they're lazy. So I think that's mm-hmm. like often that's like cheap analysis, but in this case, I don't know how else to put it because there's just plays that are missed. There's rebounds, 50-50 balls. Like they aren't getting to. And I shared a clip on Blue Sky and the other place where Jaden gets a steal, kicks back to Nikhil for a wide open three, and he misses it short. And the rebound like bounces nearly out to full court before Jeremy Grant just grabs it. And I'm watching the play, and Ant and Julius just don't move. If they had simply even like jogged down the court, they like one of them likely gets the offensive rebound, but they just didn't move. And that's the type of stuff that's just so frustrating. And unfortunately, I wouldn't say Ant always does this, but he's certainly very inconsistent about showing up for lesser opponents. And it felt like earlier in the year, he had kind of done away with that a little bit. The games against Toronto and Charlotte. And there's one more where he just, the first game against Portland where first he game, just came out. Yeah. And they had the energy and they did that. And then even in Chicago, I was out there in Chicago and he kind of said like, I don't know why we don't have the defensive intensity in the first half. I don't know why we're doing these things. And then the next game, they did come out with that intensity. And I just, it's more than a little bit frustrating, but it's just one of those things with Anthony Edwards that I'm trying to wrap my head around where it's a clear pattern at this point where they don't show effort or deep or whatever you want to call it. And Ant says the right things. And it's getting to the point where it's like, yeah, you're not saying anything wrong, but you got to kind of put your play where your mouth is at this point.
Nah, I totally agree. I think the good thing about this is it's still early in the season. So we're not talking about this game 67 or, 72 or something like that when they're about to try to go for that playoff push. I think they're still trying to find each other as well. And I can even see it too defensively. It's kind of those situations where it's like, oh, wait a minute. Like Randall's like, are you going? Is he going? Like they're still trying to figure it out, you know? And that's kind of how I look at the season. We have to give them about a 20-game, 25-game grace where it's like, you guys got to figure this out because, you know, of the circumstances with the trade and everything before the season started. Yeah. But I totally agree with you, though. He's saying the right things, and it's more so, all right, you're saying those things. Let's continue to implement them. So if we continue to do that, you know, I think they'll be on the right path. But I think some of those plays that you're talking about, even the one that you were talking about, I think it was more so confusion. Like, are you going to go? You know what I'm saying? It's like, who's going to do what? And I also look at it from the offensive end where it's like these players are like, okay, let's let Julius and Ant go off. But then it's like at the same time, they don't know when it's their turn. And they're still trying to figure it out as a team. So it's going to hurt these little blunders against these teams that we're supposed to beat by like 15, 20. Yeah. But I think it's going to be growing pains to get where they need to be. And you know, it's fixable. You know, and one of the things that I'm not too worried about is the fact that, you know, Finch is one of the best teachers in the game, and he knows the right buttons to press with the team, with McDaniels, with Ant. He knows how to get them guys kind of going, and this team thrives off their defense, deflections, getting in the passing lanes. That creates their offense, and we haven't seen any of that recently. So once we get to that point where we'll be able to see that, then we'll see the full complete game that we're yearning for as reporters and even for the fans.
Yeah, I agree with you like on the trying to find themselves piece, but it's also kind of why these last two performances have been so frustrating because like they could have picked up wins along with finding themselves and why like the effort and lack of energy stuff or the focus or whatever is so frustrating because it's like, well, that's the one thing that you should be able to bank on. That's obviously not to do with finding each other, at least not mostly.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying anything anyone really disagrees with, but yeah, we can talk about like their point of attack defense is just has not been there, which is, like you said, just such a calling card along with Rudy on the back line. of their defense. Sure. And it just hasn't been there. I mean, they're net rating 9th in defense, which isn't terrible. I mean, there's certainly Wolves teams of the past where we would hoot and holler for 9th. But this team has if this team wants to go where they want to go, it's got to be top 5. It doesn't necessarily have to be. I mean, their offense is almost certainly going to be better than it was last year. They got to be top 5. If it sticks around 9th, they're going to be looking at like a play-in tournament 6-5-6 seed.
Yeah.
But
that's one thing. I mean, I don't really panic. You know, we got defensive player of the year caliber players with McDaniels, with Rudy. Ant's trying to step it up as a two-way player. It's all about, like I said, it's all about finding yourself and getting comfortable within the new scheme, because obviously adding new pieces to it. Dante's in there. You know, you're adding Julius. You got to see how they're going to be playing as well. So 9th, I'm actually impressed with 9th right now for what it is right now. So, you know, I'm playing that wait and see game, but I also know that this team was built on defense. So if anything, their defense is going to create more offense, but also the defense is going to create opportunities for them to get more wins down the stretch. And, you know, the way that they played last year, we need to see that again near the end. We need to see that again. And when we do see that, when everything clicks, I think we'll be at the right stride that they need to be at. And I think we're talking about a 3-game losing streak right now, but they can rattle off 5 or 6 in a row, and then we're not having this conversation right now. So it's all about just, you know, trying to figure it out and seeing how they scheme. But I believe the way that McDaniels plays on the perimeter, that's supposed to set the tone for when Rudy's back there, because a lot of the times when they need that extra help, Randall and these other guys are still trying to figure it out with the spacing and where they need to be at. When who's calling what? Hey, who has my help? Who has it back cuts? You know, they're trying to figure it all out. And you can kind of tell even with Portland last night and the other night, you know, Rudy's getting caught where, you know, they got people at the rim that are like Jeremy Grant's getting an offensive rebound because he's coming over too late, and then they're getting easy putbacks. It's more so just trying to figure out those small little details that I think they will figure out. But right now it just looks like, you know, they just mixed in there and they look like 9th.
Yeah, I agree. I think like looking at like, we'll go over like all the things that are going wrong with this team, but like deciding which of these are like fundamental problems with the team that need to be addressed, like at the root level or like with a trade or something. And then there's issues that are just bad right now and probably hopefully won't continue. I think the lack of energy stuff falls into that category. And I think the point of attack defense and Jaden not playing as well as we'd like to see, or Ant not defending like we'd like to see, I don't think those are like institutional problems. I think those will get better as the year goes on. And they just have to.
If this team is going to do what we want them to, you know, what we expect them to do, they those two are definitely the head of the snake when it comes to, you know, because they're the young legs, let's be honest, you know, so they got to make sure they set the tone.
Exactly. One of the things that I do think is kind of a, I don't know if it's a fundamental flaw or something that's probably going to persist the rest of the year, is their defense with Rudy off the court has been pretty brutal, specifically with Nas at center. And it's not even to put down Nas, because he's been playing, I mean...
He's out right now, offensively. Yeah.
But, like, he's almost played more small forward than he has center in, like, last year when they had Cat. So he's not a center anymore. And so when they have him out there by himself, he's not that type of player anymore. And that's fine. He's slim. He's a power forward. He's a very, very good power forward. And the defense has been good to great with him sharing the court with Rudy. I just don't know that he's getting blown by, and he's not a rim protector, and that's fine. He's obviously the sixth man of the year, but I just don't know what they're going to do at center, because I think another discussion that's been about like trying to find more minutes for Minot and Dillingham. Well, if they're bringing in a backup center, like there goes another 9 minutes. So
I was gonna say, do you give Luka some time and have him play with Luka?
That's not solving the defense, though.
I mean, I'm just trying to figure out: do you try to put more length down there to help out? You know, instead of running into a Dillingham, you're running into Garza at least if there's somebody else, you know, to try to help out. I mean, you got to figure something out. You know, mm-hmm. I definitely see what you're talking about. I mean, he's not a rim protector like that. He's a finesse player. And obviously, he's the sixth man of the year. But, I mean, defensively, he can hold his own. But when it comes to being oversized, like, you know, that's the tough challenge for him. When you have somebody that's really big and brolic, when Rudy's trying to get his minutes. And I understand what you're saying. It's one of those where on the offensive end, he's the mismatch. Because mm-hmm. they can't guard him. But then on the opposite side, they're going mm-hmm. down low. You know, so it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that would basically be what Luka Garza would be able to give him. I mean, there's a thought that's like, well, we're not going to be able to defend with whoever we put out here in this lineup. Might as well just screw it. Like, let's try to get our best offense. Like, we're going to lose at a 48-minute pace of 140 to 141. But, like, well, maybe we can... I don't know. I it's not a terrible idea, but I think ultimately big picture, like if we're talking about issues and like the best answer you got is Luka Garza, we're in a tough spot, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like they should have to, you know, try to bring in somebody else?
I to me, just like with the cap situation and their pick situation, I think this is your group. This is your eight plus Ingles, Minot, and Dillingham. Those are your guys. I mean, I guess they could throw a second at someone and grab a Monte Morris level player like they did last year. But ultimately, in the playoffs, that person is just not going to play. Because, like, what Minot is getting at most 8 minutes in a regular rotation that includes Mike. Like, I just don't think they're going to have minutes for like, that person. I mean, it'd still be, like, a valuable piece, especially, like, on a game Rudy misses. I think they could really use that type of person, but... I just think they got to figure it out, and maybe I don't think starting Nas instead of Randall fixes all that much. But what you could do is make it more of the concerted effort where Randall's playing with the bench units, and Nas plays as many minutes next to Rudy as he can.
Yeah, I think that honestly that sounds really good right there, because I mean we know Nas and Rudy they bounce off each other perfectly. You know, and some of the stuff that I've seen, some of his best games have been next to Rudy. You know, so I honestly like that, and it's crazy because I see a lot more teams do that where they have like they'll take one of their stars, you know, and lower their minutes with the starting rotation, but then they'll bump it up with the second unit. And it's interesting because you know, Coach Finch doesn't do that, but. You know, I would like to see that sometimes, you know, because especially when that second unit is trying to find themselves offensively or something, it would be cool to have like an Ant get a couple of minutes with, you know, that second unit to kind of get them going a little bit and, you know, different things like that. It's still early. They're still going to try things. Like you said, we still got to figure this out. So, you know, but I would love to see maybe even, you know, some Rudy with that second unit. You never know. You know, so it's just kind of finding that perfect nucleus where you can have, you know, you're not being exploited. You know, sort of like what Golden State does with Steph. You know, it's like they know how to find that perfect mix of players that he can just run around and do his thing.
Yeah.
You know, and we need to find that perfect match for Nas where he's not overexerting himself on the defensive end, but he's still lethal on the offensive end.
Yeah. You touched on Rudy with the second or with the bench unit when Mike was playing well, I think that's what they did a lot where they would run Rudy, Mike pick and rolls with the bench units, with Nikhil or whoever else on and spacing out. And I like with Mike just not playing well right now, or just straight up missing the last game, they just don't have like that option. And they don't have, I mean, Ant has done a very good job, especially before these past three games of like the numbers on the Ant, Rudy pick and roll are way up, especially because like he talked about this, like they're going under on screens and he's just firing threes and he's making them at like five a game at 40%. So like, I think that works, but it was a good, Mike and Rudy were such a good pairing. Every time they needed a bucket, they would go to that empty side Rudy pick and roll and it would almost always get a bucket. And so like, that's one of the other things, like, is this the Mike Conley we're getting this season, or are we going to get closer to 90% of what he was last year?
I think the Mike Conley we're getting this year is going to be the Mike Conley that they coast during the year, and then get him ready for the postseason. That's just how I'm looking at it. I think he's going to play his minutes, but then I think he's also going to have a reserved type of role where he's not playing the full extent. Because remember last year, he's playing heavy minutes. Yeah. I think this year, I think they're just trying to, you know, have him out there, set the tone for the team, and then be that person that could just create. But then if you can take him out for some minutes to give him a breather, take him out. I think last year he was getting overexerted because we really needed him. Every single moment we're like, oh, but now with Dante kind of gives him, you know, some relief. Because when he comes in, you know, that second unit, everything, you know, and they bring Dante in with the starters too. So I think Mike's going to be that type of player. Like I said, they coast through the season. He's going to get his minutes, but it's not going to be heavy. But then when playoff time comes, when we're like, okay, we need the high IQ player that's going to make the right plays, make sure we're not turning the ball over. That's kind of where I think Mike's going to get back to the heavy minutes.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're going to play him 30-plus minutes very often this regular season.
Yeah, I definitely don't see that happening.
Yeah, you know, and I wonder how much
25 to 30 probably.
Yeah, I wonder how much his wrist is really bothering him, at least as it comes to his jump shot, because he just hasn't been able to make open looks or really anything so far this season. So I wonder if that is either an issue that holds him back all year, or if it's just something that over the next week or two he can get straightened out and get his jump shot. Because, I mean, ultimately, if he's going to shoot 30% from three, then it's just they're going to have a hard time finding minutes for him. But if he's back to the high 30s, 40% like he was last year and really most of his career, then even if he's not quite what he was last year, they'll find minutes for him as a spacer and a smart defender.
Yeah, for sure. I remember talking to him about it. He said that, you know, it's something he's just going to have to play through, you know. And at the end of the day, I mean, if you're playing through it, one thing I love about Mike is he affects the game way more than his shooting. You know, when it comes to playmaking ability, making sure the ball is not turned over, you know, he's doing all the proper things that we need, and he's making the high IQ plays. And I think his leadership on the court maximizes way past his jumper because simple example was when he went over to, you know, Jaden McDaniels the other night. You know, just trying to calm him down. Hey, look, we need you. That type of stuff is something that the Timberwolves haven't had in years. So the fact that we have this player now, you got to kind of look at the things that he does, all the positive things that he does besides the shooting. If his shooting is the only thing that's the problem, I think shooters always, you know, go through those little slumps and then they come back. Yep. So if that's the case with him, hopefully, like you said, hopefully it's not lingering too bad to the point that this is an ongoing thing where we don't see the old Mike. But if this is the Mike that we do get, I know that the positives way outweigh the bad for sure moving forward, especially with his tutelage with Rob and just being around Dante and helping those guys. Because, you know, when's the last time, you know, the Timberwolves have really had a vet that can actually be, you know, be in the trenches and still make good plays and still actually be out there with the guys and at the same time teaching them? I've only been out here for, 3 years now, so I don't know. But the one that comes to mind for me is Kevin Garnett when Cat and all those guys were there.
Yep, that's a good point. I mean, their last veteran point guard kind of before D'Lo and before Mike was Jeff Teague. And he had another fun podcast clip where he's just like, yeah, I didn't want to go to Minnesota and Minnesota didn't want me. It's self-aware, which Jeff Teague is very self-aware because Ricky Rubio was obviously a fan favorite and he recognized that Tibbs sent Rubio packing for Jeff Teague and that the fans were predisposed to not necessarily like Jeff Teague. But yeah, Jeff Teague is not the role model necessarily that Mike Conley is as an on-court basketball player. So the Wolves don't have much of a history of anything that's not Kevin Garnett related. So,
you know, so this is a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
absolutely. Well, one thing that it always sounds lame to just blame shot variance on a loss, because you're going to have good shooting nights, you're going to have bad shooting nights. But the last three losses have come each with crazy shot variance nights. The Wolves shot from three, 13 to 45 against the Heat. If they make one of those, 14 of 45, they win that game. Portland shot 18 of 32 from three in the first loss. That's
ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. So, I mean, part of it is like, with that especially, they had plenty of open looks too. It wasn't, it wasn't just random luck, but like there's one at the end of the quarter, Delano Banton just turning into Steph Curry. And then last night was their worst shooting performance in a while. I kind of looked it up. They have an under 40% field goal percentage. It's crazy. They were 39.4% from the field and 7 of 39 from threes. And just the number of just like, I mean, of those 39 threes, 35, 36 were open, were good looks. And they just couldn't get them to fall at all. Pull up the numbers. Ant was 0 of 9. Might not miss one. Dante 0 of 6. Like, they just, no one. Nas 2 of 8. Like, that's the only person that shot well was Nikhil. And even he, I talked about earlier, missed a wide open one. So, like, that game was terrible. They both were. But ultimately, there's a little bit of part of me that just goes, but also, they could have won these two games if they just shoot, like, not even good, just bad instead of horrible.
I mean, those, the numbers you rattled off are really, I mean, the first Portland game, I mean, some of the shots they were making, even Ant was turning around like, really? Like, mm-hmm. really? You really about to do this? Like, you know, so, and some of those shots were, like, spot on contested that they were just hitting. You know, I don't know what it was. Obviously, they were at home, you know, first in-season tournament game, you know, they had the crowd rocking, but sometimes you got to tip your hat off to teams that just make it. You know, when I played basketball and I saw teams that my team was supposed to blow out by 25 points, I'm looking at them like, how are we down by 25? Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes it's just pure basketball. Sometimes it's hustle. You get out hustled. You people are making shots that you didn't think they could make, you know, and that's kind of what happened with the Timberwolves. You know, I mean, they had their hands up, but sometimes, you know, like you said, sometimes they caught them on those breakdowns and those mishaps where they were open. You know, I saw about, four or five threes that were wide open where they made the extra pass and nobody was there. So that could also come from fatigue, too, from being out hustled. You know, so a lot of that comes back to that. But these numbers, I mean, those numbers are ridiculous, though. I mean, and like you said about the Miami game, I mean, they make one more three, then they win that game. You know, so I'm just curious to see, you know, if we're going to see if this three-point shooting is going to continue, or are we going to start to see the Timberwolves of last year where they went downhill a little bit more and was able to really punish people at the rim and get to the line a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, it's the start to the new season. You know, we're seeing a lot more threes from Ant, obviously, at a high clip. I'm not mad at the threes he's taking because, I mean, technically with his step back that he's added to his game, he's wide open. You know, mm-hmm. So it's more so, is he going to make or miss it? So I'm just curious to see because with that type of shooting, it's like, do you go back to the old way now or do we continue to keep shooting and we're just like, hey, this is a little mini slump we'll get out of. So. Yep.
I agree. I don't think like it, looking at poor percentages from threes and then shifting your volume, I don't think is the right way to go. If you believe you're taking good shots, keep shooting them. Maybe that leads to you losing some games you should win, like against Portland, but ultimately like it's going to swing back and you're going to beat teams that maybe you shouldn't beat. So to me, whatever, if this is the shot diet you feel they feel is best, keep doing it. And if you honestly feel like you're shooting too many threes, then switch it up. But I don't use the small sample sizes of one game or two games or even a week to like determine what should be best.
For sure. I totally agree with you. That's why I was saying, like, for me, I feel like, you know, 20, 25 games is we're going to figure out and see exactly what this team is. You know, you still can't put your finger on them right now. They're still learning on a daily. You know, that's why I was able to ask Ant the other day, like, how comfortable are you getting in this offense with Julius? Like, you know, because it's very important. Like, y'all two need to be in sync if this ship is going to go all the way to the championship like you guys say it should. You know, so I'm just curious to see, you know, how the next 10 games are going to go. And I'm happy that they're going through a little skid like this anyways for morale and you know, kind of like a chemistry boost, you know, right? It's like, okay, people are counting us out now. Let's prove them wrong. You know, let's see how they come back from this skid, because I truly think these two games, they probably just looked at it like, oh, Portland, all right, yeah, we're good. We got this. You know, and sometimes you do that when you overlook your opponent. You know, so, you know, they Chauncey Billups had them coached up and ready to go, and Portland, got to tip your hat to Portland. They made some shots that I couldn't even believe. So, you know, it happens. It's the league.
Yeah. And the biggest thing, I think the Wolves, since they traded for Gobert, they have done an amazing job of when it seems like they are having hit the bottom of the barrel, they pull out wins that people don't expect. I think back to 2 years ago, they also lost back-to-back games in Portland. They had that one, the true bottom of the barrel. They lost on New Year's Eve. They lost to Detroit, if you remember that
one.
Yeah,
to Detroit. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
that was terrible. And they responded by making the playoffs, which there was plenty of time during that season. I just remember being so scared that they were going to give their first-round pick to Utah. Well, they were going to do that anyway, but like that it was going to be a lottery pick and it was going to hit and be Wemby. I was like, just please make the playoffs so it has a zero chance of turning into Wembanyama, because it was just like, we'll never hear the end of that. But
yeah,
they responded, and the season didn't end well, but they had good games and they made the playoffs, which was at least the minimum they had to reach. And last year, the season looked over after game 5 in Denver. I don't think there's many people that believed that they could win, and they responded by beating them by 50 and playing the chicken dance in their face. And then they, as everyone knows, came back by 20 against Denver in 7. So,
yeah,
as bad as it looks, and don't want to underscore how bad it is, and it likely will cost them a seed. Like, wherever they finish at the end of the year, I'm very confident that we'll look back at these two games and be like, let's say they finish 3 again. We'd be like, yeah, they're probably the 2 seed if they win even one of those games in Portland. Because, like, the quiet thing is these are division games, which usually just means nothing. But for tiebreakers, that's the first tiebreaker with the division game. So if you want to stay at, I mean, they beat Denver once, but, like, say you're tied with, you split the rest, like you're 2-2 against them, you're probably not going to have the next tiebreaker because Denver's probably going to beat Portland. So
yeah,
it's costly in terms of that. But like we've said, they've got so much time. Like think back to where they were November last year. They were just kicking butt and beating everyone. And by December, January, February, they're still playing fine. But like there is, oh, we're worried about this, we're worried about that. Like it's such a long season that, for better or for worse, you can't take too much out of even a string of games.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's a lot of time. Crazy thing is, a lot of people need to understand, too, like, Ant just played in the Olympics, too. You know, so it's like, you know, he's obviously in rare form as far as how he's playing. But I also feel like these guys got to continue to, like I said, gel together. And then I feel like this is one of those, I think this is actually one of those years where they're like, I really just want to get back to the playoffs. Because we were right there. And I think sometimes players get caught up in, man, I just want to get to the finish line. Let's get to the playoffs so I can really go off. But it's like these little two games right here with Portland that they just lost, those are the games that you really need to capitalize on if you want to make sure you have home field advantage in the playoffs. So these are going to be growing pains, but I think Finch is going to get them right, and they should be back on track. I mean, you know, there's a couple of good games coming up that are going to be, they're going to be tested, but like you hit it on the head. I mean, these are those type of games where they bounce back and we're like, all right, how'd they win this? How'd they beat Sacramento by 20? Like, you know, so it's one of those where anything can happen, but it's so early and we're not talking about the same team as last year. If we were talking about the same, if we had the same exact situation, same exact record with the same, with Cat inserted instead, it's a different conversation. Because now it's like, all right, what happened to last year and what you guys did? This year, it's all about implementing the new guys in and making sure that everybody's playing the right way.
Yeah, for sure. We can talk about that a little bit. How much do you think some of these struggles, I think we both agree that like the trade is affecting them, not because their team is better or worse necessarily, but that just because they made a trade right before training camp and they got new guys in and that's taking them time to gel. But do you think that, like, is there specific, like, rotation thing? Like, what do you think they're missing from Cat? Like, would they still be 6-6? I kind of still believe they'd be 6-6 or 7-5. We'd still be good. Even if they didn't make the trade, we'd be completing the same stuff. Like, most of what, to me, is causing them to struggle right now is not due to, like, the difference between Julius and Cat.
I agree. I mean, right now, I think it's just defensively. You know, if I'm going to put it on something, it's going to be the defensive end. And I don't even think Cat, you know, obviously Cat, that's the beauty about the Cat situation, right? Last year, Cat knew how to play off of Rudy, knew how to play off of McDaniels, and he already knew because he was implemented in the system already, you know, and he had to buy in defensively. I think what we're doing now is with Randall and Dante, we're trying to make sure that they understand what the schemes are and the different sets are that they're trying to implement as well on the defensive end, you know. So if you look at it from this year, we probably would have a little bit better record to start off with Cat, but when you're growing and you're trying to learn things, you know, learn things on the fly, I think where we're at right now, I'm still okay with that, you know. But I think, like I said, I think it's a defensive thing. And once Rudy and all these guys get the trust factor where, okay, I'm up here and I know they got my back defensively, where they know they have help, and when they know when they're switching and somebody's going to be right there to help them, I think those are the things that you have to learn and continue to grow, because that's communication. And if you don't have that type of communication, then, you know, you're gonna have some mess ups where there's gonna be a wide open three on a kick out. You're gonna be sitting there like, okay, here we go. You know, so defensively, I think we'll still get it together. You want them to be top five. I think at the end of the year, they should be back to be top five. You know, when you have Rudy and you have McDaniels, and I think even with the emergence of with Ant trying to be a better two way player, and then the way that I love Dante DiVincenzo's on ball defense as well. Like one on one, like I'm good with him defensively. The way he moves, all the above, I think he's gonna really bring it to the table. And then with Randall, he's just a bully. He's like a Zion. Like you can't move him.
Yeah.
So if you get you try to go one on one with him, you're just gonna probably kick it out. You know. So
yeah,
I like what they're doing right now. It's gonna continue to have some growing pains. But once that defense starts clicking and we get back to that defense that we saw last year where it was flying everywhere, I think this team will be right where we need them to be. But right now, I think the biggest difference with the trade as well is, you know, it's the defensive end right now. Because last year, people already knew their roles last year and knew where they needed to be. And this year, it's like we're inserting two players in there that are huge, important players, but they also need to know where they need to be and who needs the help where. And it's about communication, but defense is all about trust too. I got to trust that my teammate's going to make the right play or be on the right assignment as well.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing a good job trusting each other on the defensive end, because I've seen a lot of like over-helping where like a defender has a half step on someone. And sure, like you got to, like there's a certain amount of help and like it's the right idea to like, someone's getting beat, you got to rotate over. But there's been too many times where, like, I've watched a replay of the game and be like, you didn't need to help there. You didn't.
Yeah.
Or you did need to help there, but you took one too many steps toward that play and you were late recovering back to your person. Like,
yeah.
I just think they talked about in Chicago that. If you remember, Chicago hit a bunch of threes in the first half and the Wolves were able to like settle that down. They talked about like they just stopped helping. They stopped helping and they were just playing one-on-one defense. And I think, I mean, obviously you got to help some. You can't just let people waltz to the rim. But like, especially with Rudy already there, like I think they got to play a little bit less help defense and just like man up. And that's going to take them improving whatever is going on with their point of attack defense. Because if you're playing one-on-one and guys are blown by you, it's just going to be a layup line.
Not for sure. I think the biggest thing that I'm seeing this year compared to last year so far is they're gambling a lot more. And that comes from not having that cohesiveness together. Like, okay, I know I got the help. Instead, I'm seeing Ant trying to make the play. It's like you can relax on defense and stay in front of your man, but then sometimes he's gambling because he's trying to just get to the ball and make a play. Sometimes you got to let the play develop and then let the defense develop too. And I think, like I said, they're gambling a lot more this year than I've seen in the past. And then when they're gambling, then all of a sudden now you got a two-on-one situation where somebody's going up with Rudy and dumping it to the big man, and then he's just laying it in or dunking it. So it's going to take some time. Like I said, it's going to take some time. I mean, we will see that defense again, and I know it's going to come. It's just more so that we're going through the growing pains right now. That's all.
Yeah, I agree. I've noticed that too, where a couple plays, weirdly, like with Nikhil, like he's just like pressed up on his guy, and naturally, like the guy goes around him, and the whole kind of defensive scheme breaks down.
Yeah. Right,
starting with that first action. It's not just Nikhil, it's other people too.
Oh, and for sure.
I wonder if early in the year they were giving up a ton of pain points. So I wonder if like they like switch something and they're like, no, we need to take away the pain points at the sacrifice of a little bit more threes. And now maybe we need to shift back to kind of letting, not like sacrificing some paint defense for some perimeter defense.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, like, I feel like I'd rather somebody shooting than getting the easy twos, you know, getting the easy bucket or getting the and one in the paint. So if you got to live with a contested jumper, I'm good with that, you know. Yeah. And I trust Ant, Nikhil, you know, Jaden, even Dante. You know, if they're defending on a one-on-one on an island, I believe they're going to make the right play. And, you know, I could live with that.
Yeah, that's a big thing to me when people talk about, like, the increased in three-point shooting, and that's not something like with the game or whatever, and they blame the offense. And it's like, I don't think it's as much the offense as it is the defense, because the reason why the threes are open is because the defense can't take everything away. So they take the most efficient shot away, and people are like, oh, well, that's a three-point shot. No, it's a, it's a layup. It's a dunk.
Yeah.
They're taking the paint points away, and you got to give up something, and it's the threes.
Yeah.
So I like, if you want more, I don't know what people, what, I don't care what the shot diet is. That's not why I watch basketball personally, but like if you want, if you want more, you got to get, you got to let people get, you got to find a rule or whatever that lets people get dunks and layups. Like just straight up restricting the threes isn't really going to do much.
Yeah. I mean, if we're playing that, we're playing that Warriors game where it's, you know, we'll give you the two because we're going to hit the three.
Mm-hmm.
Then you kind of live with that. And that's kind of what it looks like right now, because Timbos are shooting the three at a high clip. So they're like, okay, if that team's missing, then we're going to come back and bounce back with the three. You know, but the thing is, they got to find that that defensive identity. And when they find that, then when they, if they miss a three, they know on the back end, that on the opposite side, they're going to get the ball right back and they can hit another one. You know, and that's what they got to get back to. Because that's when we were putting our foot on, you know, Timbos are putting their foot on everybody's neck when they got that defensive groove going. I remember last year, I forgot who we were playing, but they were moving so much on the defensive end. They were swarming and nobody was, it was like 3 24-second shot clock in a row, you know. And that's the defense that everybody wants to see them get back to, where everybody's moving their feet, hustling on every play, making the right read, communicating. You know, and that will come. It comes with time, and like we've been saying this whole time, it's more so got to integrate the new guys in there and get it going. But their defense creates their offense. So if their offense is stagnant, when they get it, when they get the ball on the defensive end, the fast break and transition points are where they get, that's their money. So they haven't been able to get to that right now because they're gambling and missing reads, and people are, you know, they're getting that extra pass in where we're not getting to them right away and it's not contested. So if they work on those little small things, which I think they will, you know, we should see a lot better, you know, result. We definitely won't see what we saw in Portland these last couple of nights if they do that.
Yeah. If they pull that, if they like lose to Sacramento and they're down early to Phoenix, it's going to, the Target Center is not going to be very happy with them. But yeah, I think my big picture thing is, like, we can talk about the strategy of they're missing this player, they need to have this defensive strategy, whatever. But, like, we're not at the point, even to me, at least after these couple in Portland, they just need to play better. Like,
yeah,
you can't start breaking down coverages and breaking down who can do what until you just start playing hard, until you start playing better, until you start making shots. And so, unfortunately, 16 games into the season, you'd like, or 16, 12 games into the season, you'd like to be, you'd like to be further than that, but ultimately they're not there yet. And it's such lame lame analysis, but it is what it is. They just got to go out there and do it. And once once they do that, then we can talk about what backup center we want to trade for.
Yeah. Nah, that sounds good to me. You know, like I said, it's going to take some time, and, you know, we'll get it going. I think constructed the way this team is, when they get it clicking, you know, on all cylinders, both sides of the ball, I think we'll be right back in the top three mix, you know, and I think that's where we'll be at, and I think they'll hit the ground running in the playoffs. You know, I think Ant got that taste of how far he can go, you know, and I think he's gonna take it to that next level. And that's what I'm expecting. I'm honestly expecting an MVP season from him. Like, MVP type numbers. That's what I'm expecting from him.
Yep. So, and my retort to that would be, these last two in Portland are the exact type of games that I think people think, like, the MVP is won against the good teams, and obviously it is, but, like, a lot of it, especially with the numbers, is people load up on these Portland games, especially Embiid is obviously known for that. But, like, you load up on these Portland games, and or the Charlotte game, what, like, he was doing, the Charlotte and the Chicago's, and so that when you have a dud night against a good team, that your stats don't hurt as much because you had scored 40 against whoever.
Exactly.
And so to win that MVP, and, like, the guy that in his age bracket that's probably slightly ahead of him is SGA. The difference, like, I think there is, like, the night in, night out, I'm going to score 30 every night. And I think, like, I'm sure this pod's going to sound like I'm coming down on Ant, and to a certain extent I am, but, like, that's the standard he's set for himself, and that's he's, after this Cat trade, this is his team, this is his franchise, this is his city. And so... Yep. They just need more from him right now. And it's not to, he can still be an MVP caliber player. He could still win it at some point in his career as soon as, like, next year. But ultimately, they're just not quite getting enough from him defensively, really.
Yeah. And you know, the one thing I've noticed about Ant just covering him is he beats himself up just as much as, you know, everybody else tries to beat him up. You know, and one thing about him is he always bounces back. You know, and he doesn't like losing. He's a competitor. So I'm expecting, especially after last night, I'm expecting him to come out in this Sacramento game and set the tone on both ends. You know, and that just starts with, you want to be the leader. You are the leader. He talked about maturity. We need to see it now. You know, and it's more so, you can talk all you want, but when you don't do it and when you don't back it up, that's when people will start to come after you. And I think one thing about Ant is every time he's talked, he's always backed it up. So we need to continue to see him do that, because instead of being on the bounce back where I'm like, okay, now I'm going to come back, you got to be on the attack every single night. You know, teams are coming after you. We were just in the Western Conference Finals. Teams are looking at you as a legitimate threat. You know, so when you have those players like the SGAs who do it night in, night out, especially with Chet out now, he's going to take it to a whole nother level. So you got to kind of look at it from the standpoint of, with Ant, it's, okay, it's my team. But he also said he's trying to make sure that, you know, Randall's comfortable coming in. Hey, we're going to play around you. People need to play around Ant. So they got to continue to figure that out. But I think Ant needs to be putting up 20 to 25 shots a night. And I don't care if they're good shots, bad shots. I need any shot. Because my thing is, I don't want a game where I don't feel like he's being aggressive. You know, and sometimes he can defer a little bit more. And I think that's because he's trying to get, you know, get Julius and Dante integrated in the offense as well. And I think he's trying to learn them as well, too. I think we'll see a stretch coming up where we're going to see that MVP ball from him, where it's like, okay, you know what? Y'all got to get on my back now. And that's what I want to see from him. Everybody, come on. We're going to follow me. I'm going to lead us to the promised land. And that's the type of Ant that we need to see. The Ant that's being aggressive, continuing to shoot at a high clip, you know, 40% from three. We need to be able to see that on a nightly basis. And I know that, you know, a lot of people say, you know, his maturity is the issue. But my thing is this. If you can hoop, you can hoop. So at the end of the day, it's all about making sure that he makes the baskets, makes the right plays, makes the right IQ plays, and continues to, you know, continue to grow his game. You know, he's adding that floater now. He's doing, I see him doing that one-handed little jump shot, like when he's in the paint a little bit more now. So we got to continue seeing his growth in his game. And I think that will lead us to where we need to be.
Yep. Exactly. I agree. That's a good segue to their, to looking ahead to their next matchup against Sacramento. I think this is a perfect matchup for Ant. They don't really have anyone to guard him, to be honest. I mean, who, I don't remember who they put on him. Did they put DeMar on him?
They had DeMar and Monk.
I don't think Monk's going to play either.
So that's like
I'm not a big fan of this Sacramento team from a big picture standpoint because of that. They don't have any like perimeter defenders that aren't liabilities on offense. So, Sabonis is a fantastic player, phenomenal player, solid defender, but isn't like the true rim protector. I mean, Klingon is darn near Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the Wolves made him look like, but Sabonis is not like the true rim protector that Ant has had trouble with. Like Dallas's two guys is like, who he struggled with. So I think this is like a perfect matchup for him and for Randall because they don't really have anyone to guard Randall either. Unless they want to put like Sabonis on Randall and then guard Rudy with, I don't even know who would be left to guard.
Yeah, I don't even know either. I mean, you know, I know they're going to try to probably throw Murray at Ant a little bit too. That's another matchup that that they threw. But like you said, they don't have any matchup for Randall. I mean, Randall, you know, he was going bonkers. So, I mean, you know, we just need to be able to see, you know, that type of Randall on a nightly basis, you know, where we know what we're getting. I don't know if you would agree, but I feel like Randall's more so like a 25 and 5 guy. Do you agree?
Probably not as many points, but yeah.
I'm saying like in that range. Like I'm looking at maybe like 16 to 20 points per game, but you're gonna get 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He's a stat sheet stuffer. So he's gonna do what he gotta do on that part. But like you said, I don't think they have anybody that could slow down Ant.
Yeah.
And I don't even think
Keegan Murray can guard Julius. I forgot about Murray defensively. They do have someone to guard Randall, but they haven't had Julius. Like early in the season, he was doing such a great job, like kicking out to shooters and like finding good looks. And I think he's been a little bit too like shot focused the past couple games. So if they can get back to that, anytime they're doing such a good job, anytime he would have any small forward or guard on him, he was immediately posting up and he was blowballing that guy for either like a foul, a layup, or an open three. And they kind of gotten away from that. I don't know if it's something Portland or Miami was doing or if it's just
The biggest takeaway I've gotten from Randall is he knows how to exploit that mismatch right away. Give me the ball. like as soon as he sees that he has a point guard on him, switched on him or something, or he has a shooting guard or a small forward switched on him, he's going straight to that post, and he's going to bully them into the paint, and he's going to probably get fouled, make it, or he's going to at least find the right play. You know, so they got to get back to that. I think this will be a get-right game, you know, for the Timberwolves in Sacramento. I really don't see them not coming out focused. I think they'll come out locked in. You know, you kind of get a rude awakening when you lose to Portland twice. Yep. You know, and I'm hoping that, you know, they took those two losses personal. And like I said, this is kind of what they needed. You know, you need a little skid in the beginning, you know, so you can kind of find yourselves and grow together, you know. So I think Ant will pick them back up. I honestly see them having a big game tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. It's certainly not a game that, like, I think you said he loves playing in Sacramento, if I remember that right. It's like one of his favorite gyms to shoot in.
Yeah,
he'd probably say that about all 30 arenas, to be honest, knowing him.
I mean, the way he plays, I would say it about all of them, too.
But yeah, just kind of looking ahead to the Wolves' next schedule. So Friday at Sac, Sunday, a matinee. The Wolves have not really played well against on afternoon games, but they got Phoenix right? without Durant. So that Durant would be a huge mismatch for the Wolves again. Randall is a better matchup than Towns was. Then they got at Toronto and then at your Boston Celtics out there. So
yeah, yep.
They got kind of two teams that they should beat. At least Phoenix without Durant is a team they should beat, and Sacramento, but solid teams. Tanking Toronto team, and then the barometer of all barometers is at Boston, and Ant has certainly not shied away from the Celtics. He had two crazy games against them last year.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I'll be out there in Boston for that game. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be an exciting game. But, you know, the thing about Ant is, like, you know, the better competition, like, brings the best out in him. Like, remember, even on on starting five, like, you know, he was talking trash to the Celtics that whole game.
Yeah.
You know, bring your ass back to Boston. Go home. Woo, woo, woo. You know, so he was doing all that. You know, and then even when he was in the locker room, he was like, man, I was locking Tatum up. You know, that's just who he is, man. You know, so he has fun with the game. He enjoys the game. And, you know, when you play that good at that age, you know, that young, you know, you got to continue to play like that with confidence, you know, and he's playing with that type of confidence. So if he can get a nice little stretch going here, Sacramento, Phoenix, you know what I'm saying? Then they got Toronto and then Boston. I think that could be a set up for a huge game right there.
Yep, and they get a little bit of injury luck here because KD's out. Portland was missing half the roster and it didn't matter, so maybe not.
Yeah.
They got two games against the Clippers. Kawhi won't play in those games, I'm pretty sure, unless he's had an injury update I'm not aware of. So the Wolves have the hardest remaining schedule, at least using like team's current record as their strength. The Wolves have the hardest remaining schedule in the league. So, and I mean, the crazy part about that is it's like the top half of hard schedules are every single West team, and the bottom half of hard schedules are every single East team. So, the Wolves are just trying to even it out, right? That's what their Miami loss was. Just trying to give trying to give the East some wins. And I do wonder if Jimmy were playing in that game, if Ant's, how that would have been different.
Well, I thought we were going to find out, but we didn't. We didn't get the chance to. So, you know, we'll see. It'll happen again.
At least this time, it wasn't Jimmy ducking them. He had a legitimate ankle sprain. So,
From what I heard, he was going to play. So,
yeah. So that's too bad. It did seem like in the past Jimmy has ducked them, but that is not the case this time. He didn't look like a fun ankle sprain. But
it did.
Yeah, that's where we're going to wrap up. Travis, you got anything else? Anything you want to plug?
Just keep a lookout for, you know, all the stuff, all the content on SneakerReporter.com. Follow me on all social media, Sneaker Reporter, Travis Singleton. Appreciate you for having me on here, Ryan, man. It means a lot. You know, definitely don't want this to be the last time. So let's continue to keep building on it and, you know, keep updating throughout the year. And, I'm just looking forward to this these couple of games coming up for the Wolves, and hopefully they can get back on track and get back in the win column.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully this is the low point of the season. We can bring you back on after a big win, and we can celebrate instead of complaining for an hour here.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
Awesome. Well, Leo and I will be back early next week, likely on Tuesday morning. Your pods should update with another episode there. So until then, I'm Ryan with Travis and Leo. Thanks for listening.
Good night.